Shall we pray? Our blessed eternal Father, I want to thank you once again for this opportunity to witness the first day of the month of the last month of the year. It's been you since the beginning of the year. You have fought our battles. You have provided for our needs. You have protected us from all dangers that could have taken our lives. Thank you for being there all the time for us. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for the assurance that we are yours, even as this day goes by. We are grateful, Lord, for being our Father that cares for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing hands. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the revelation of your word, the impact of your word. Thank you for the privileges that we have had, Lord, to hear your word, the pure word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the effect of the same in our lives, as you have been gracious to us to see the last month of the year. Lord, we want to ask, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, that you will just be gracious to us and forgive all our iniquities, our unbelief, our fears, our doubts. Every way that you are not pleased with us, we ask for your mercy as we come before you this day. And we ask, Lord, gracious Lord, that you give us grace. Lord, as a new month has begun, that you will renew your grace in our lives, that we might rededicate ourselves to you. Lord, knowing fully well that it's not by our power, nor by our doing that we have lived up to this time. Many started the year with us. They are not here today. Lord, many started the month of November with us. Many even saw the last day, if they saw yesterday. Lord, but today, they can see it. We are grateful. We are not rejoicing because of these people that couldn't see it. But we are saying, Lord, it's because you have not done, you are not yet done with us, and you still have something to do in our lives. Lord, we just present ourselves to you, that you will have your way, Lord. Oh, may we not miss your purpose for spanning our lives. As we come presenting ourselves before you, may your grace appear to all of us to recognize our areas of needs, knowing fully well that you are the only great provider. Lord, may you meet us at the point of our needs. Give us grace to surrender our heart to you. Grace to love you, to serve you better. Grant it, eternal Father, fill with the Holy Spirit today. Set the captives free. Inspire faith in the heart of the sick. Touch your people. Lord, take these things to your ground. Manifest yourself. Prove yourself mighty in our midst. Lord, so that at the end of the entire service of the day, our joys will be full. The glory and honor will be yours, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Let's open our Bible as usual to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. In continuation with our Sunday school lesson, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride. 2 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1 to the end. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which are stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the heart also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all the conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein it dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, as written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You can please be seated. As we open to Revelation chapter 21, we read from verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. As we continue with our Sunday school lesson, the future home of the Earthly Bride. Yes, last Sunday we stopped at the point where we were trying to look at the state of a man that is sanctified but delayed in making himself ready for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gave us the story of that in Luke, telling us that the case of a man like this is like Okay, let me just go straight and read so that because we have a number of things I want us to cover this morning. That the state of the man is like someone whose evil spirit is cast out. Of course, when a man is sanctified, the spirit that very snake that were responsible for malice, for stealing, for lying, for backbiting, for gossip, for fornication, for smoking, for adultery, all that the works of the flesh are stated in the scripture. Though the man might not be committing everything, it might just be just one or two of them that is paramount in his life, the rest might be dormant because circumstance, because usually most of these evil spirits work with atmosphere. A thief will not be known until something is left in a quiet place where nobody will see. And then that spirit will rise and say, nobody is looking at you, now pick it. And he will smartly pick it and, pocket it. But ordinarily, if everybody was there, that particular thing, the person may not do it. So this person that is sanctified is cleansed from those things. But his Adamic nature remains because he's not yet converted. And that is why all those spirits have been cast out of him. But if this man does not stay constantly at the altar, not only in the church here, at home also, that is praying constantly and studying the Bible and reading the message to keep himself or herself in the condition that the word of God says a man like that should be. If he's very careless and he doesn't care for you, that where I'm sanctified, in a short while, the demons, evil spirit that have left him will come back. And when they come back, it's not going to be that one spirit that left. The Bible says that that spirit, by the time he comes back and look at this very person, and say, this person is still empty, and the house is clean, and I've been homeless all this while. The Bible says this spirit will go out and get him more, seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they will come back to this man and invade his land. The Bible says the end of the man will be worse than the beginning. So the admonition of the prophet is that a man that is sanctified must constantly be at the altar. Being at the altar does not mean it's only when you come to church. How many times do you spend in the altar here? And Abraham told us the example of Lois, the daughter-in-law, the wife of Billy Paul, that she almost read the Bible through that with singing his favorite song, praying for Holy Ghost baptism. That is the condition that a person that is seeking the Holy Ghost must be in, not to be gallivanting about every little thing you put your mouth, you do this, you do that. You will put yourself into trouble. Put yourself in a condition where all the promises of God can be fulfilled. Praise be to God. Let me read. Maybe I can just leave that out. Let me just read this place. We see this age that we are living in. It is one of the grandest ages of all ages. This Laodicea church age is the grandest of all the church ages because it is the ending of time and the blending of eternity. And then it is the greatest sinful age. It is more sin in this age than there has ever been. Sorry, paragraph 44. How can I overcome? Sorry, please. I should have called that earlier. Paragraph 45. Yeah, back then in the early ages, a Christian could, and for his profession of being, of belonging to Christ, could be beheaded for it. He could be killed and put out of his mystery and go to meet God quickly. But now the enemy has come in the name of the church. And he's so deceiving. Which church? Not the true church. The denominations. Placing people upon false pedestrians. Making them to feel that they are born again when they are not even justified. Making them to see that they are going to heaven when they are actually, the direction they are facing leads to hell.
discouraging them from following the right way, telling them that those are cults. Those people you see that are called Brahmanite, they are cults. Don't have anything to do with them.
Well, you can't discourage an elect. Don't want to start. Because God has a special way of calling the elect. It is a supernatural call.
Let everybody in the world disbelieve God. Let them present every evidence that there is no God.
God will have a witness. Praise be to God.
But now the enemy has come in the name of the church and it is so deceiving. Because that is the way it is. This is the great age of deception. When Christ says so, he said the two spirits will be so close in the last day to deceive the very elected, if it was possible. See, remember, Christ spoke of an elected, if it was possible. Sorry, Christ spoke of an elected people for this last day. Hallelujah. It will deceive the very elected if it were possible. So close.
But it is not possible.
The people so lead, people can live a clean, holy life, not be sinful, not be adulterers, not be drinkers, drunkards, not be liars, not be gamblers. They can live above that and still not with it.
You see that?
This is the age of life, personal life of Christ, where the chemical of his body that was in him. First, under justification, the water baptism. Second, under the new birth of Wesley, sanctification of weak cleanses. And thirdly, under the baptism of the Holy Spirit, putting that sanctified vessel into service. See, the word sanctified means it is a compound Greek word, which means cleanse and set aside for service. Set aside for service. Now the Holy Spirit puts it in service. Until a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, is not serving God acceptably. Because he's not worshiping in spirit and in truth. And that should throw us into desperation. Because God is seeking those who will serve him, who will worship in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worshiper he's seeking. He's not seeking people who will serve him in the flesh. He's seeking people that will, under the influence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in their souls, serve him. He put him in service. And we notice, when the unclean spirit is gone from a man, he walks in dry places. That's exactly what the church has done. Baptists, Methodists, those who believe in sanctification. Then Jesus said, the unclean spirit that went out returns back to this church body and finds the house garnished, is placing it on the denominational. But he has applied to individual. And we have talked about that. But it's still the same. It's the same principle. Garnished, swept clean, living pure, clean lives. All right. But then if that house isn't filled, occupied by the Holy Spirit, then he comes in with seven other evil demons worse than he was. And the last stage of this place, or that person, is seven times worse than it was at the first place. They have been better to stay with the Arians than to be, to receive the light and fail to follow it. So with the Pentecostals, see, you know what I mean? The house is garnished. Everybody under sanctification must take heed to that. Now, moving to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just a few things, because when we are talking about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man, is inexhaustible. It's like you are talking about an automobile, a car. The car has steering, he has tires, wheels, he has a brake, he has a gear, he has horn, he has headlamp, he has exhaust, he has brake oil, he has engine oil, he has radiator, he has all, as you want to, he has doors, rear doors, front doors, he has bonnet, he has boots. Every, talk about it, he has three level of silencers as they place it. He has manifolds. Yeah, talk about it. And you know a lot of technicians that work in the vehicle. Not a single person. You have the auto mechanic, you have the auto electrician, you have the auto panel, you have this, you have this, you have the one they call blacksmith. Several people, like doctor works on human body. So the Holy Spirit, the major thing the prophet talks about is just what we want to emphasize. And then we move forward to other things. Now see, I'm reading paragraph 50 of How Can I Overcome? Now see, justification never put him in. Sanctification just clears the place for him. For who? For the Holy Spirit. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, it puts him in the people. It puts Christ in the people. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, does God change his mind? Preach in 1865, April 27. April 27. 65, April 27. Does God change his mind? Not does God ever change his mind. There are two series. It's this one, 65, 04, 27. Paragraph 55. In the Hebrews, I believe the 10th chapter said, there was a continually remembrance of sin each year. Those beasts' body were offered. But in this case, the worshiper, once purged, has no more conscience of sin, no more desire to sin. Because the nature of God has been put in that man to replace the Adamic nature. And that is when the Bible says that he that in him cannot sin, he that is born of God cannot sin. The prophet says, what is sin? Unbelief. He that is born of God can never disbelieve. Can never disbelieve. Because unbelief is sin. So he that is born of God can never disbelieve every promise of God. The word of God becomes a absolute, becomes a absolute. It's not tradition, it's not custom, it's not his or experience. The word of God becomes the absolute. It's not his idea, opinion. It's not the way I see it, and that's the way you see it, that's the way you see this. It is the way God sees it. Yeah. Then finally, Satan's hidden. It's on the sermon. Satan's hidden. We read from paragraph 120. Compare this now, how much alike that man and his wife, both in God's hidden, without one stitch of clothes on them, and knew it not. For why didn't they know it? For they were veiled to their senses of nakedness. You can imagine, for a man to be naked, a mature man and a mature woman. When God formed Eve, she was not a baby girl. She was a mature woman. And Adam was not a baby when God formed him. He was a mature man. And Adam was naked. And Eve, God formed her, also naked, and brought her to Adam. And Adam did not know what nakedness was. Eve did not know what nakedness was. They were all looking at themselves, not having any sense of any part of the body. No knowledge of it. It didn't mean anything, just like you are looking at a tree. Some people that are so possessed, they will look at the little girl and say the Lord after the little girl. Possessed of unclean spirit. In fact, somebody, a minister, said it so ridiculously that they will be lost in after woman's get outside. But they didn't know it, for they were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil of the Holy Spirit. They could look right at each other and they didn't know that they were naked. They were veiled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. God's veil. Yet today, God's veil, which is the Holy Spirit. Because I want you to look up there, the paragraph, the last part of bring it. They were veiled with the Holy Spirit of holiness. They were veiled. The Holy Spirit is the veil to the believer today. 121. God's veil, yet they can look and not lost. The Holy Spirit today, the Holy Spirit is God's veil today, can look and not lost. They turn their head. It is the only veil, see, only veil. God had their, they were both, one was man and the other was woman, and they did not know they were naked. Because of the holiness of God kept their eyes veiled. Notice, God hid their conscience from sin by the only veil. You know, that's what happened to little children. In the age of innocence, a little girl, a little boy, they will go out, run out of this place naked and begin up and down. The little girl will run out of this and begin to go up and down. No, no, and that's how it was. They didn't know nothing. The two boys. What makes the bad news we hear from school that those little children go to the toilet and begin to do the unthinkable is because of what they have been taught and things they have seen with their eyes. Perversion. And that is what Eve did, what this serpent did to Eve. He gave her information. Gave her knowledge of the thing God did not give her. If God awarded them to do that, He would have opened their eyes, made them to understand that. Stop reading all these pornographic things and the rest of it. You will harm yourself. You will harm yourself. And that is why many, because you watch that and you don't have a way of relieving yourself, you are not married. And it's wrong for you to do that in the first place. That's why what leads to masturbation. You want to satisfy yourself sexually, but without a woman. And that happened to females too. It is an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. Holy veil. The prophet said, wish we had some time to lay on that a few minutes. Look here. For he, the worshipper, once purged. Hebrews, the worshipper once purged, has no more conscience of sin. Sin has passed from him. And that is because the fire of the Holy Spirit comes and burns the Adamic nature from him. He did not only take away that snake and leave the nature. He comes with fire to burn that nature that is prone to anger, that is prone to adultery, that's prone to fornication, that's prone to lying, that's prone to stealing, that's prone for gossip and backbiting, that's good, that's prone to every evil that you can talk about that the Bible lists. That's prone to wickedness, jealousy, malice, hatred. All those things. As we were saying on Wednesday, individual must have discernment of himself. It is when you have discernment of yourself, you can cry to God for help. If you place yourself on first pedestrian, it's dangerous. I heard Brother Neville say this morning, someone might have been asking him, why didn't I preach on the Holy Ghost? Why didn't I do this? Here it is. The Holy Ghost is the action in you. It is alive. Not an emotion, not some sort of a fleshly evidence, but it is a person living in you, living in me. It is a person, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, established in your heart to quicken every word of this age. Right. Watch the Holy Spirit in action. Not so much in demonstrations, but in action. What it does.
according to the word.
And that's what the prophet says in summary, that if you say you are praying for Holy Ghost baptism and you have an experience, he said, check that experience with the word. Is that spirit doing exactly what the Bible says you will do when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, or you are just presuming it, or you are placing yourself upon false pedestrian, or you feel that, oh, a big boy like me, a big man like me, a big woman like me, how can I say I don't have Holy Ghost? And you say, oh, well, I cannot say that. Then you are rejecting salvation, because it is only those who cannot help themselves that God can do what can help. And let me also drop it here. Let it not be, because the enemy is so wicked, that somebody who has been claiming to be filled with the Holy Spirit and maybe realizing that he's or alive is not bearing on, and to now say, how can I begin? How will I start? Oh, where will I start from? If you can understand the word and you recognize your position, that's the great help you can do to yourself. If you can do that, then go to God. God, seeing the sincerity of your heart, seeing that you have recognized your condition, and you know that you are, and you know is the only one that can help you. Nobody else can help you. You must have trust in him. If his word can help you to identify yourself, the same word can heal you. The same word. If you believe that this word is this, he has helped you to recognize us, then the same word can fulfill, the same promise of what can be fulfilled in your life.
Just be positive.
It's the promise of God in the first instance to his people. It's a promise. It's just somebody that's claiming what is not. And when you are able to recognize it, and then you are in a better position to be helped by God than somebody who still holds on to that which is not the truth. May the Lord be our help. Now, we are saying this one because the stages of justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism are emphasized by the prophet as the processes, the stages that God takes the dwellers of the first class city, the first class city which is coming to dwell upon the heart, this same heart, God takes this same heart through the same process. And the prophet told us that the dweller, the redeemed dweller of the first square city, the people that will dwell in the first square city that is coming upon this earth, before that first square city will come here, the prophet said, this earth will pass through the three stages. And he has passed through the two. He's been justified during Noah's time by water baptism. And when Jesus came, he shed his blood upon it. This house has been justified. This house has been sanctified. He's waiting for Holy Ghost baptism and fire. And when that happens, it is then the first class city comes, descending from heaven to come and settle here upon the earth. And the redeemed, who have also gone through the same process of justification, sanctification, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost and fire, will also come and dwell in the first class city that is staying, that is sitting upon the heart, that has gone through the same process. May the Lord be our help. Then the prophet goes further to tell us that from 2 Peter that we have read, let's move back there. Wow. Have you run this second bed? Okay. Let's open this up. 2 Peter chapter 3 again. I'm going to read from verse 10.
From verse 6.
Whereby,
that's 2 Peter chapter 3.
Whereby, the word that there was being overflowed with water perished. The prophet told us that this earth, because of the way it was placed in the scripture, I saw a new heaven and a new heart. The prophet said it looked as if the old earth and the old heaven all passed away, all were destroyed. The prophet, they were not destroyed. Then the prophet brought us back to the old world that went through the antediluvian. The prophet said, God destroyed sinners within it. the frame of the heart remained. While every sin, because he said, I'm going to destroy every living from the earth.
He did not say, I will destroy this world, this heart. God did not say that.
He said, every soul has sinned before me. They have done wicked. The imagination of the earthly man is wickedness every time.
And God said, because of this, I'm going to wipe everybody away. And that was why he asked Noah.
If he asked Noah to prepare an ark, where would he ask him
if he was going to destroy everything? Those are arguments of the prophet. Points established by the prophet to let us know that this ark
will remain the way it is, only that the elements and the works of men within it,
the cosmos, the politics, the sin and unrighteousness, whiskey company, tobacco company, prostitutes, houses, hotels, and events center, where all evils are perpetrated.
God will destroy everything.
And the only way that we cannot be destroyed with it is for us to go through these three processes. The Lord be our blessing. Let's bow down our heads. God bless you, sir.
Our blessed Heavenly Father, we are indeed very grateful unto you for sparing our lives. Lord, since the beginning of the year to this last month of the year, dear Father, we thank you for trials and temptations and problems that your grace has taken us through. Lord, we are very grateful unto you. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. That has kept us and you have seen us through this number of years, 11 months. Lord, may you see us through this remaining one, Lord. Whatsoever our needs might be, we are looking unto you, for you are the only one that can give unto us what we have need of. You are the only one that can make us to be what you want us to be. Thank you for this deep teaching of the program that you have concerning this present earth. At the stages it has gone through already, at the very remaining one, and you have said, they that are going to inherit that earth, we have to go through the same stages. And that is the essence of the preaching of your word, that each time we stand before the mirror of your word, we see ourselves as we are. Our Master, we have seen ourselves again this morning as we are. As individuals, we pray that you go from person to person, from seat to seat, whatever our needs might be, may you meet us at the point of our needs. Get us ready, O God, our Father, for that hour. For that is the purpose why we come to your house. The professor, we come to check up with our soul salvation. Whatsoever those needs might be, you are the only one that has the answer to them. Meet us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. Make us ready. May we not perish with the word of Father. Thank you, righteous Father. Bless your servant, replenish him for the virtue that has left him, O God. We pray that the remaining services of the day, you will add more blessings unto us, Lord. Take all the glory and honor for granting these petitions. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we have prayed with all faith and thanksgiving. Amen.